Hello everyone, we are live. This is my first live stream to LinkedIn and YouTube, so welcome everyone. We've got the numbers are going up, which is good. We've got 500 people or so on the call now, on the live stream. Please say hello. I would love to learn where you're from. And I would love to know your questions. I will try to answer as many of those questions as you have. Today's focus is on the major technology trends and anything around coronavirus and the future. Many of you have already submitted questions on LinkedIn and on Twitter, so I have picked some of these up and prepared some answers, but I'm super happy. Hi, Tarek, just see that you've joined. Hi, Kate. I will try to keep an eye on comments as they come in. Hello from France, Malaysia, Bangalore. Super exciting to have so many people on the live stream. Let's see if we can see any questions. So the one of the first questions that has come in was from Steve from London, and Steve wanted to know what are actually some of the top tech trends that will impact our lives post-coronavirus? And for me, this is a really good question. And I think there will be some technology trends that will be amplified and that have already been in the pipeline for many years. And for me, one of the biggest ones is big data. This is something that we will see. For me, big data, this massive explosion in the amount of data we now have available in the world, that is the fuel for this new industrial revolution that we're experiencing. And this will continue. For me, the more data we have, the better decisions we can make, the better our performance monitoring will become. And if we have really good data sources that will not only will allow companies to understand trends, they will be able to understand what some of the impacts of any future risks will be. So if we have early warning indicators using the data that can signal what might lie ahead. So this current pandemic is a perfect example. There have been lots of people saying that this might become an issue, but very few companies have been prepared for it because it wasn't really on their radar. They didn't really have systems in place. On a more simple level, having data allows companies to understand where their customers are, how their different channels are performing, how their products and services are performing. And for me, this is a vital thing that we need to do. We need to understand where our customers are going. And if we have something like this global crisis that we're going through at the moment, you need to have very good real-time data. Are your channels still performing? Are customers shifting from one product to another? Are they using different channels? And if we don't have this real-time data, it's very difficult to then put resources in place. So big data is a key trend. Another key trend is this rise of computing power. I will see this continuing. We now have cloud computing, and those companies that have moved to cloud computing a while ago are now in a much better position because they can upscale and downscale their operations. Suddenly they see a peak in demand for online services. And obviously if you have the cloud infrastructure in place, you can then simply upscale this. The other thing that come with this increased computing power is that we will have edge computing, so more smart devices on the edge of the network, and we will have things like 5G that will enable this computing power to be leveraged in mobile situations. So for me, this is the second trend, this rise in computing power, and we will see this continuing for the next 10 years, really, but this is one that has hugely been accelerated through this crisis. And then both together, AI and big data are enabling artificial intelligence. And for me, the fact that machines can now do things that in the past only people could do, they can now read, they can write, they can hear, they can speak, and they can even be creative. And this is going to continue, and we will see increased automation using AI, because what AI enables us to do is to give us smarter products and smarter things, autonomous things. So this is linked to my next, my final top five trends. So we have big data, the rise of computing power, artificial intelligence, and then we'll see the Internet of Things, or the, what I call the intelligence of things, that we now have more devices that are becoming intelligent, that can collect data, share data, and act independently. We've seen this from smart washing machines to smart ovens to smart heatings to everything else, even smart toothbrushes nowadays. And the final trend that is very closely linked to this is autonomous robots, that we will have more automation. So for me, what we're seeing is that artificial intelligence is now the brain that we are adding to machines, which are robots. And what we're seeing is that this enables us to have self-driving cars, self-flying drones, and things like intelligent robotic process automation, where machines can simply watch what we are doing and start to automate and improve on what we're doing. So they are my top three trends. Let me just check on. Hi, Tommaso from Madrid. Just loading a few more questions. Hello from Tunisia. Hi, Jefferson from Colombia. Another really good question has just come in, is from Christopher Asaro from the US. And Christopher was asking about post-coronavirus. What will the world look like? And for me, this is on some levels very difficult to predict, because we don't know what is going to happen in the future. But if things are panning out as I envisage them, that we will... that we've probably been over the worst in many places like the US and the UK and Europe, and we're now entering a phase where the case is coming down, where we are slowly entering a bit of normality, where shops are starting to open again, what we'll see is that businesses will start working again. And what I see will happen is that companies will invest in digital infrastructure. So we'll see a strengthened digital infrastructure. At the same time, they will focus on more contactless interaction. So when I go shopping, in the past, we used touch screens, and this was all fine. But nowadays, I don't want to touch any touch screens unless I'm wearing gloves. So we will see more voice interfaces, more face recognition interfaces that minimize contacts, I think. And we will see accelerated things, lots of things we're suddenly forced to innovate. And if you think about telemedicine, for example, I've talked about this now for years, but doctors and hospitals haven't really entered this because they thought it's so much easier to keep to the old systems. So telemedicine is something that I will see being accelerated, because doctors have now seen actually doing FaceTime consultations using video conferencing, that actually works quite well. I think online shopping is going to continue. We'll have more reliance on robots in the future, because if we lived in a world where we didn't have delivery drivers, where we didn't have people working in warehouses, if this was all automated, the impact of coronavirus would be much less dramatic. So those companies are fully automated. They can actually just switch back on and they can operate pretty well, even with social distancing. Hopefully what we'll also see is less unnecessary travel, I hope. I think, and maybe continuing to work from home. I've worked from home now for a long time, but even things like what we're doing here now, live streaming, having conversations. Hi, Luis from Portugal, by the way. That is a real step forward, minimizing traffic, minimizing pollution. I don't have to get onto a plane to fly sometimes 12 hours to give a 30-minute presentation. In some cases, this will still be the case. But actually, can we not do this in a better way? So hopefully this will change. And I think we'll see more hybrid events and hybrid services where we have a digital and a physical event. And I also believe that we'll have more gig jobs. The gig economy started to take off, but I think in the future, one of the things that companies probably want to de-risk themselves on is to have a lot of full-time employment, because if things go wrong, they are potentially a big burden. At the same time, we need good working environment. So they're getting this balance right between creating a really great place to work and offering people gig jobs, really good jobs that pay well, that give people an opportunity to develop, is really important. But I see more of this happening. And then this whole monitoring around data, putting systems in place to pick up future disasters and anything that has an impact on the business is going to be important. And finally, I think another area that I think is linked to digitization is esports. What I'm now seeing is that we'll have more esports even on mainstream TV. At the moment, there's no sport on TV, which many find very difficult. But recently, we've had the Formula One Grand Prix done digitally, and this was actually streamed on live television here in the UK. And I guess more of this will happen. And again, for me, it's a move to a hybrid environment. If we watch football, especially when we think about virtual reality, augmented reality, wouldn't it be cool if we could place ourselves on a pitch, watch a game from the vantage point of a goalkeeper or a striker, see what is actually happening when they pass the ball. And for me, merging these, creating hybrid environments is going to happen. Let me just see what other questions have come in. And any questions, by the way, any questions you submit now, I will have a really good look at some of those questions, and they will give me some more material for my next sessions. Also, next week I have an interview session planned with a friend of mine, a former colleague, Professor David Denyer from Cranfield School of Management, where we look at, okay, how do companies actually get ready for a post-coronavirus world and become more resilient. So that I'm trying to do this on Tuesday next week. Okay, I've got a question here from Ashish Verma from India. He was asking, okay, technology is all well and good, but what we're seeing is that what will this mean for healthcare, for education, and for the agriculture environment, especially in countries like India and places like Africa? What is going to be this transformation? So healthcare, education, agriculture are for me, some of the most exciting fields. So, and what we've seen with many other innovations, if you think about mobile phones when they first came in, and mobile payments, actually what we saw in places like India and Africa is that they skipped the main line telephone infrastructure and went straight to mobile. And what I hope will happen is with innovations around healthcare and education, where we can now deliver this on mobile devices using artificial intelligence to help diagnose health conditions, and where we can have chatbots in place. This can reduce the price of healthcare, can really give access to people that previously had no access to healthcare, especially in India and Africa. And for me, what my hope is that this will all accelerate, that they will enter straight into the mobile delivery of some of these services. And the other area that you wanted to know about is agriculture. This is a super exciting field as well, where we can now see a lot of automation. This is something I don't see necessarily happening in Africa and India straight away, because it requires more investment. So the healthcare and education will make a huge impact. It will open up healthcare and education to people that have never had that before. The automation of agriculture, I think, will more happen in the Western world first. We'll see this in the US and in Europe, where we see fully automated farms. This is already taking place. Some of the companies I've worked with, for example, like John Deere, they are now seeing themselves as a technology company that enables a completely autonomous farm that uses things like sensors and even drones to monitor crop conditions. They will take data from the soil to then recommend what plants to plant and when. They will then use autonomous driving tractors to plant them, and they will even use machines to fertilize, but doing this on a micro level. So if I want to fertilize, or if I want to apply pesticides, what is happening at the moment, we just apply this to the entire field, whereas what is happening now is that we can micro inject these pesticides and fertilizers to exactly the plant that needs it. And I think this is going to continue as well. Another interesting thing that will happen is in terms of manufacturing. So lots of places like India, like China, like Africa are also manufacturing places. Lots of labor has been outsourced to some of those countries. With the increasing automation, and also when companies look at supply chain risks post-COVID, what I imagine will happen is that we'll insource or backsource some of those. So I've already seen this with companies like Adidas, for example, that brought some of the plants back to Europe and back to the US, and now use fully automated robots to produce things. And suddenly the advantage in low-cost labor environments can then counteract the disadvantages of long shipping times from those countries across oceans with increased risks. Actually, if we can now use robots that can produce things 24 hours a day pretty reliably, then in completely dark factories somewhere in our world, in the US or in the UK or in Europe, then some of this advantage is going away. So I think there will also be an impact on the manufacturing world. Go Nazarat Zagarian from Italy is asking about the value of jobs and saying that actually, from our economic point of view, many jobs that bring an exchange of value to the market are the jobs that are now deemed not necessarily the most essential jobs, and the jobs like healthcare professionals and others are maybe not the most valued. This is an interesting question for me. What we need to do is to really rethink as a world, what jobs do we really value? And for me, this increased automation will somehow question us. Why are we here as human beings? What is our human contribution to this world? And with automation, we can get rid of lots of things that for me, humans shouldn't really be doing. So if you think about a supermarket, should a human being really sit on the checkout and scan one item after the other and sit there 8 hours a day? Is this the best use of human skills and their intelligence and their creativity? I would argue not. And actually, what we can do is we can automate some of those jobs or some of the tasks and actually focus on the things that really add value. And for me, this is such a good question, because for me, again, healthcare, education, even staying at home staying at home mums and dads, they're doing such an important job. People that look after elderly relatives, all of these are hugely important jobs that need the human touch. And those are sometimes the jobs that we value in terms of monetary terms and in terms of wages the least. And this is something we need to reconsider. And I believe that this increasing automation, bringing in artificial intelligence and intelligent robots, will really help us to address some of this in the same way that the current pandemic, I think, is accelerating those discussions. Okay, let me have a look. We have any retail experiences? Yes, I think retail is very interesting. For me, what I'm seeing is that retail will somehow be split into two really successful parts. We will see on the one hand side the automation that companies like Amazon are bringing along, the automation and the fast tracking of e-commerce and online delivery. So if I think about how I shop and how I want to shop, I have my weekly shop delivered by online delivery services that bring this straight into my house. But then I also love to go to the shop because I like to cook and I like to go to a fish counter. I like to go and touch vegetables and see them and experience it. And I think this is the balance we need to get right. The retailers want to basically bring online all the weekly shop where I just buy the same items again and again, and actually make it a real experience for people to come into a shop where they can taste and experience and come up with new ideas and inspirations. And at the moment, lots of retailers don't get this balance right. And also the going into a physical shop is not the greatest experience, because nowadays we either have self-service checkouts where you scan things yourself, or you queue somewhere for someone to scan your items. But this for me is crazy, because what we do is we stand in line, we then take everything we've put into our trolley onto the conveyor belt to get scanned, then we put it back into our trolley to pack our bags. This seems crazy. And this is where, again, companies like Amazon are coming in to really innovate. So their vision of a future store is that it uses cameras to monitor what people are doing. So they will use machine vision technology and artificial intelligence to understand what have you picked up, what have you put directly into your shopping bag, and everything you put into your shopping bag, it will scan this, it will record this automatically, and you simply, at the end of your shopping experience, you simply walk out and you get charged for your purchase, rather than having this crazy system in place that we have at the moment. So again, for me, this will get fast-tracked, but at the same time, we need to make sure we still offer people a real shopping experience for the things that we want to touch and feel and experience. Let me just see any other questions. There's so many questions coming in. I'm really sorry that I can't answer all of them. I will have a really good look at all of these later on. Another question here from Simon Pettifor from the UK, saying, how do we balance virtual working with being social creatures? That's a good question. Saying that actually we are all social creatures. We want to meet each other and see each other. And for me, There is, again, two sides to all of this, a bit like with the shopping experience, that currently there's some technology that allows us to work virtually. So I have spent a lot of time over the last few weeks on Zoom calls and team calls and other platforms, and they all allow us to carry on working, but they're still not perfect. Because what I always find with video calls is that you have your camera, like here, up here, I have my camera in my screen, but then I see the other person down here, And actually, you don't see each other eye to eye, so you can't really have a proper conversation. It's obviously a lot better than being on a phone line. But for me, technology is on the horizon to make all of this a lot better. So we'll have things like virtual reality. So just imagine having a headset on, and instead of dialing into a call and having just a two-dimensional screen, you can meet people and you can actually look them in the eye, and you can meet them anywhere. You can say, let's have a business meeting on the moon, or have a business meeting somewhere around a campfire. And for me, this will make the online experience much more sociable and much more real. At the same time, I think it's really important to acknowledge that we are creatures that like other people, and we want to, and I'm missing, like all of us, missing my friends and seeing them. And so for me, it's really important that we really rethink, especially some of the corporate events. When we've seen this for a while, this transition to more hybrid events where parts of this are streamed, parts of this are delivered in person. But for me, lots of the in-person events haven't really got this right. They haven't created enough of an experience where I go in and actually, does this engage all my senses? Can I smell and taste and see something differently? And most of them are just putting me into a conference room and giving me a presentation. And this is something I much rather do from my armchair at home, watching it on the screen. So how do we create those sociable experiences where we have nice dinners together and experience something special? And these are the questions I think lots of businesses now need to balance. Hi, Andre from Canada, from Ottawa. I've got someone from Pretoria. Hi, Isaac. Another question here from Hossam. Hossam is asking, what behaviors will remain post COVID-19 and which one will be difficult to maintain? Yeah, for me, partly, I think I've answered this, because what we'll see is more hybrid events, more home working, more gig working, more automation. I think those companies that are able to create working environments where we can socially distance well in the short term will do really well, and they can come back to normal. But I think for me, it's the ones that create real value to customers and create really good hybrid events that get the balance right between allowing people to carry on home working and reducing really tiring commutes that lots of us have, with saying, okay, but sometimes we want to get socially together and we need to do this. How do we best do this, and how do we generate some real value from those interactions? Hi, Jordan from San Diego, California. Hi from Chennai, India. great question here. Great question, saying which stocks will go up. There's obviously, I can't give you any stock advice here. What I think I can do is I can give you some solid advice on how to select businesses that will do well in the future. And for me, one of the most important ingredient is innovation. So businesses that are able to stay agile and can quickly implement social distancing, they can quickly switch channels and deliver a great experience online. So businesses that are able to innovate and do this well will be the ones that will be successful in the future. And I've made this point before, that if this pandemic wasn't a flu pandemic, but a virtual pandemic, an attack that attacks online businesses and the internet, then we would now look at some of the other businesses, some of the the bricks and mortars that we would rely on in terms of keeping our services going. And for me, what businesses need to do is they need to create this innovation inside the organization and this the culture that allows them to address that. The other thing is that companies that are customer value obsessed. For me, companies talk about customers are their most important assets. But for me, having this obsession about customers and helping them and sorting their problems out. So this pandemic is a huge opportunity for many organizations. Say, okay, well, how can I make their lives easier? What are their real needs at the moment? How can we solve this? And we see this with online retail. We see this with video conferencing. We see this with hand sanitizers and many other things where businesses are really making a difference. And for me, companies like Amazon have been talking about this for a long time. They always said, we want to really understand the customer journey and make it easy as possible. So initially they started off with recommendations. They then had the one single button that allows you to buy something. They're now reinventing even physical shopping experiences, the way they're innovating their supply chain and phrase. All of this customer obsessed businesses will do the best. And for me, it's again those businesses that have a real finger on the pulse, having the data to understand their customer journey, understand customer trends, will do best. And then those that are able to servitize their businesses. So moving from a product model to a service model. And we're seeing this with companies like Apple, who are now making this transition. We're seeing this with companies like Disney and Netflix, that are providing a service, a subscription service that generates not only recurring income, but also fantastic customer loyalty and a real opportunity to engage with customers on an ongoing basis. So instead of selling them something once and then trying to win them again when they need to buy another product, you keep in touch with them, you have a communication channel with them. Then platform businesses, I think, will continue to do well, but only those that are really generating a value. Businesses like GitHub, for example, or Uber, those sort of platforms, I think, will do well for some time, but they have to really deliver customer value. And then employee-centric businesses, so companies like Google or Salesforce, who've always tried to become a great company to work for, this will become increasingly important. And I was talking about the gig economy earlier. For me, Google is a great example because lots of people that work for Google are actually not full-time employees, but they want to work there. They are self-employed, they are gig workers, but they want to work for Google because they're creating a great environment. They're giving them development opportunities, opportunities to get on. So sometimes when we talk about the gig economy, we only see this as making lower pay workers working for themselves. And for me, this will happen at the very top of organizations, where we see very senior people working for a number of different companies, potentially providing their services. And what companies need to do is then to really be employee-centric, creating a great environment, great opportunities for people, because everyone is competing for talent, and this will carry on after the coronavirus pandemic is over. And then I think data-driven and tech-savvy savvy businesses, the ones I think I've mentioned both of those before, companies that really leverage their data and that use technology well. So if you can find a company that is innovative, that is obsessed about delivering customer value, that focuses on services, on platforms, delivers a great employee experience and uses data and technology well, those are the companies I would invest in. Very good. So this will bring my first live chat to an end here. What I will do, as I said, Erica, hi from Mexico. What I will do is I would go through all the comments and have a look at them, and hopefully this will feed into future sessions. My plan is to do more of those, ask me anything questions, so we'll have a topic, an overarching topic, but I'm super happy for you to submit questions. And I will do more interview type live streams too. So I've got one or two lined up for next week. So please stay tuned, stay safe, stay at home. And I am very much looking forward to the next time. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.